So a little bit about Pickering Energy Partners, or PEP, as we often shorten it down to, is, you know, we're an energy-dedicated financial services firm based here in Houston. We cover everything from oil wells to renewable energy. Our founder, Dan Pickering, has founded what ultimately became the investment bank Tuer Pickering Holt & Company. And in 2019, he and our president, Walker Moody, spun out their private equity business into a standalone PEP again. And we've spent the last 4 years adding complementary businesses that are all run by professionals with decades of energy-focused experience. Today, we have about 65 professionals. 65, 70 professionals. It seems like we add a new one every week, so it may already be stale. We're investment bankers, energy investors, both private and public, and research analysts, that's the group I run, and consultants that we serve as trusted advisors to investors and corporates all throughout the energy landscape. And so with that requisite advertisement out of the way, I'm going to dive into a few of these myths that I was talking about that are often said about our industry, that they simply don't stand up to scrutiny, any kind of reasonable scrutiny. And the first energy myth I wanted to go through with you today is that, you know, switching is fast. You know, humans have pivoted from energy sources, you know, from one energy source to another throughout human history. That's normal. But it takes a really long time. You know, the 2050 transition time frame used in most net zero analyses that you see out there are extraordinarily aggressive by historical time frames or time standards. Think tank NGO models, they tend to radically underestimate the behavioral changes, politics, economics, and structural changes required to fully decarbonize the global energy system. Historically, it's taken about 50 years to transition from one dominant energy source to another. You'll also notice that we've never in modern history transitioned off of an energy source, even once it lost its lead status. It just becomes no longer the leading source. So perhaps a better term we should think about energy is energy additions as we bring on new sources of energy as opposed to energy transitions. We're quite comfortable with our view that the energy transition away from oil and gas will almost certainly take a lot longer than most forecasts assume. There we go. So another energy myth I wanted to cover is that, you know, we can use less energy. Many net zero models rest on an assumption buried deep in the appendix that the world can use less energy in the future. We couldn't disagree more. We think that the world needs more energy, not less. Let's consider first the developing world. According to the World Health Organization, you know, approximately a third of the world's population still doesn't have access to clean cooking fuels, with the resulting indoor air pollution being one of the leading risk factors for premature death. Nearly half of the world consumes less than 1,200 kilowatt hours per capita per year of electricity. For reference, that's about what an average U.S. kitchen refrigerator consumes in a year. Again, we need more energy, not less. But it's not just the developing world. I'll give you a couple of examples that have emerged as huge incremental consumers of energy in just the last few years. Bitcoin mining. Do you know how much energy is consumed by Bitcoin mining? Last year, we used over 130 terawatt hours mining Bitcoin, or more energy than all of Argentina. AI. AI is all the rage now. But have you ever thought about how much energy AI has potential to consume? It took an estimated 1,300 megawatt hours to train the first generation ChatGPT model. And it takes nearly 600 megawatt hours per day to maintain it and process all the queries. And this is just one early AI model. Where will it be in 5 years? You know, and what other sources of demand will come along that we haven't even thought about? Neither of these two were on my radar screen 7 or 8 years ago. So I want to talk about coal for a moment. Turns out coal's not dead. The IEA originally called the peak coal demand a decade ago. And for the next few years, that looked like a pretty good call. It plateaued there for a while. But it's reaccelerated, and last year was a record year for coal demand. It would be easy to pin this on the energy crisis in Europe and the loss of Russian gas, but that wouldn't tell the whole story, because you can see in the chart there that coal investment in new coal generation has grown for 3 consecutive years to the highest level in over a decade in real terms, as countries like China, India, Indonesia, Turkey all lean into coal for cheap baseload power. You know, and the reason I bring this up is this, I don't know that you could call this a positive. Coal's clearly bad for the climate. There are cleaner alternatives. But the reason I want to point it out is, you know, the IEA's recent World Energy Outlook call for peak fossil fuel demand by 2030, which isn't that far away. You know, I think, you know, what we've seen is a lot of times these forecasts, they just keep getting pushed to the right further and further. I think this is going to be the case with oil and gas in particular. And so let's talk about that for a moment, because I think that's another misunderstanding I'd like to delve into, is that this notion that oil demand is close to peaking. To us, the long-term oil demand story is really straightforward. You know, the U.S., Canada, and the EU account for about 10% of the world's population. These countries consume about 14 barrels per person per year.